We are here at the Bayer Crop Science 2012 Ag Issues Forum. With me is Bill Lapp, who just gave a presentation here. And Bill, tell me a little bit about your background, who you're with, that kind of thing.
Well, sure. The true background is I come from a dairy farm in the northwest corner of Illinois, and so I have a little bit of hands-on experience with the hard labor that goes into producing our food. I've been on my own with an independent research company, do commodity analysis and economic research for restaurants, food manufacturers, and a few biofuel companies.
Well, and you were here to give an update on the state of agriculture, both domestic and global trends. And as you said, you just said you do some work for some biofuel companies. When you said that to the group, you said that maybe it's under the umbrella of keeping your friends close and your enemies closer. Does that mean you're an enemy of biofuels?
Well, maybe in their mind, I'm not sure. I try to provide them information that allows them to manage the risk, and there's plenty of risk whether you're a biodiesel producer, an obligated party, or somebody who has to compete for those supplies that are currently being used in large scale by both the ethanol industry and the biodiesel industry.
So we're going to focus a little bit about your trends that you see in the biofuels market. You had quite a few that you outlined there in the presentation. Tell me about them.
Well, one is that the price of ethanol has gone to a sharp discount to the price of gasoline. So the natural belief would be when that happens, you have an incentive to use more as an obligated party, and you fill the pipeline with gasoline or ethanol. When ethanol is cheaper, it makes more sense to increase it. Well, it appears we've hit what's referred to affectionately as the blend wall, the 10% limit on how much can actually go into the fuel supply. So at that point, regardless of how cheap the ethanol becomes, there's a natural limit, legal limit, as to how much ethanol you can put in the supply. So that's a key feature of why ethanol producers have become much more challenged here recently, and there's some slowdown in the industry. And it brings into question at a 13.2 billion gallon mandate that we have this year, going to 15 billion eventually, do we need to rethink our approaches to biofuel policy?
So you're looking at potentially, some biofuel policy changes in 2013, or at least discussion about that?
Right. I don't think there's been a great deal of discussion formally about that within the key parties in Washington, D.C. I think more of that will happen when we know a lot more about who controls the Senate and the House and who's the president and where the EPA is on all this after November. So I don't think the discussion has begun in interest, but we have a number of key challenges because not only is the corn-based ethanol mandate going from 13.2 billion gallons to 15 billion, gasoline consumption in the U.S. has, if anything, continued to decrease in the past couple years, and at the same time, we have failed, I would suggest, miserably in meeting the goals of cellulosic production, which would add to that ethanol supply.
So you mentioned maybe an RFS3. What do you think about that?
Right, and whether you call it RFS2A or whatever you want to call it, or renewable power supply, I think there has to be thought to what are we going to make those ultimate mandates, because the cellulosic mandate goes from 500 million gallons this year, of which we reduced it sharply, to 21 billion gallons eventually. So not only can we not make it, but we cannot use it. So there's a huge disconnect with that mandate that we have in place now. So Congress is going to have a tremendous challenge to deal with the constituencies that would like to see the cellulosic mandates continue to be in effect and not pull the rug out now, to see what we can do about the blend wall. There will be questions about E15 and why that isn't a reality and what it takes to make it become a reality.
Let's talk about biodiesel. You also had some comments about biodiesel being approved as an advanced biofuel and where you think that's going to go in the future.
Right, and it's had a fairly dramatic impact on the price that consumers have to pay embedded for vegetable oil in their food. So, minimally 10% impact on the price of biodiesel. So I think it's having an impact on food prices, number one. Number two, there remains a great deal of uncertainty about the policy, and there's at least two or three key issues. One is that there were have been found to be fraudulent RINs produced, and then so in at some point the EPA may ask the obligated parties to find real RINs and meet that obligation. That would put an additional burden on the industry to produce more. Secondly, is that there's great question concerning the potential for the dollar tax credit to come back. It's been being pushed by the National Biodiesel Board and others. And then finally, there's the question of what will the mandate be in 2013, because the EPA is currently floated a proposal to increase the mandate from 1 billion gallons, which was supposed to be the maximum, to 1.28 billion gallons in 2013, and that would go towards meeting some of the mandate for advanced biofuel. I don't think there's enough consideration being given on the corn-based ethanol side to its impact on livestock producers in particular and consumer food. We have the lowest per capita meat supply in the U.S. since 1987, and that's due largely to higher feed costs as well as increased trade. And I think there's an adverse impact from biodiesel on the price consumers are paying for the veg oil that's in many of their products.
Thank you very much. Here at the Bayer Crop Science Ag Issues Forum, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.